Well, if you're scared of going to the dentist, I've got a great solution for you. It's Dr. Jerry Rosenfeld. That's right, Dr. Jerry Rosenfeld right there in Avon. He specializes in people who are afraid of the dentist. He's so dedicated to making your experience very comfortable. He provides headphones with your personal choice of music, state-of-the-art equipment, and nothing but tender love and care. So you bring in your chieftains and your wolf tones, and you listen to those things while he works on your teeth. The future of dentistry has changed. The already high standards of care have just been raised with the breakthrough technology of the new dental laser. Welcome to the comfort zone. No drill, no noise, no numbness. Dr. Rosenfeld is delighted to offer the new dental laser to his patients. Quicker and quieter, the state-of-the-art water laser replaces the drill in most instances. Over 20 years of teaching and hands-in-the-mouth experience, now he's got the water laser too. Exceptional dentistry and maximum comfort. Bridges, crowns, bleaching, bonding, it doesn't matter. Your care and comfort is the chief priority for Dr. Rosenfeld and his staff, Linda and Magdalena. Call 674... Learn to talk. Call 674-0707 for an appointment. For the smile you've always wanted in a warm and relaxed environment, it's better success. Most insurance is accepted. Located in Ogle Avon Village on Route 44 in the sign of the Silver Toothbrush. Easy parking, some evening hours. Dr. Jerry, the dentist who caters to cowards. Call today at 674-0707.
You know how...
Well, I'm usually not one to complain about officiating, but if Sally Bell had been in the Ford Theater on April 14th in 1865, John Wilkes Booth would have been shooting two free throws and Abraham Lincoln would have fouled out. It's time for Sport d'Artois, the very French sports discussion segment. I'm back with Mr. Ronaldine, Mr. Bruce Stevens, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer.
What did you think of the officiating? I thought, you know, it was uneven.
Usually I think UConn fans are kind of whiners. That as well.
Well, you can understand.
Pretty much isn't a blue ribbon panel that he's not on at this point. Joining us now is game show champion Zalman from Farmington.
Hey, Colin.
How are you, Zalman?
Pretty good.
So what's on your mind?
Well, I found the whole conversation about Scalia interesting that you, of all people, didn't harp on the fact that Cheney wouldn't even be in office were it not for Scalia's inability to recuse himself in the Bush v. Gore case.
No, that's
and the fact that he really should have there. He had two sons who were working for law firms that were representing Bush, and one of those sons now works for the Bush administration. And the guest you had on said there's not much we can do. I think at this point, Scalia's actions and his clear contempt for conflict of interest, I don't know what the standard is for impeachment, but I think he's pushing it, especially given that I think he's sort of working to reinforce the same people he put into office illegally.
Well, it's an interesting point. First of all, I would imagine that the standards for impeachment for a Supreme Court justice are high crimes and misdemeanors, same as they would be for the president. Once again, what that means is a different question. But, I mean, that's the only way that you do anything about this. And yes, I remember at the time. I remember all that stuff coming up at the time. And I remember also at the time people saying, well, yeah, so he does have sons who work for these law firms. They're not directly involved in the cases or anything like that. And I thought at the time most people on both sides of the aisle or on, both of each political persuasion were reasonably satisfied that that wasn't grounds for recusal. But, it's a point worth making anyway, that there's a certain level of partisanship that's gone on here for quite some time, probably on both sides of the aisle, but Cheney has been the beneficiary of that in more ways than one. This time, though, I think that... Scalia's way out of line. He clearly took something out of value, engaged in cronyism, opened himself up to personal influence from Cheney in a case that's about cronyism and personal influence. He really ought to recuse himself, but there's nothing we can do to make him do that, except, as you say, try to impeach him, which seems unlikely. But
especially since, it would be a little bit pointless to impeach him now when, we probably would not get a strolling example of integrity as his replacement for the next year and a half anyway.
No, if you could find a way to appoint Pat Buchanan at this point, he probably would. But anyway, thanks very much for your call. Well, he wouldn't appoint Pat Buchanan because Pat Buchanan would criticize Bush too much. But you see my point anyway.
A very fine point indeed.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Do we have an extra minute?
I believe we do.
Oh, we do? Oh, yeah. Oh, I was rushing Zalman off stage about that. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
You're giving Zalman the boot?
I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to give him the
boot. Regis didn't give him the boot.
No, he did. Delman did very well on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. One of the many ways that we know Delman. Can't talk about this too much, President Bush did announce his Blue Ribbon panel to look into pre-war intelligence failures. And, you know, this does seem to be a week in which there's just been kind of a lot of jostling around of blame. I mean, you know, George Tenet's speech that was delivered yesterday on, I believe, the anniversary of Colin Powell's speech to the UN, you know, was kind of an inscrutable speech. And you could read three or four newspapers and read three or four different interpretations of what point Tenet was really trying to make about all this. But it did seem to me, anyway, that he was trying to shove the puck a little bit back towards the Bush administration and say, oh, no. No. We're not eating this one. We're not eating all of it anyway. You're eating some of it, too. But apparently it's nobody's fault. It's nobody's fault that I can, as far as I can tell, that all this erroneous information was used to base one of the most important decisions an American president can ever make, maybe the most important decision, the decision to commit our country to war. There probably isn't anything more important than a president ever does. And it seems that, first of all, that decision was, well, first of all, I think that decision was taken before there was a national intelligence estimate. I mean, you know, what we're really talking about here is that they decided that they were going to invade Iraq months before there was the so-called NIE, National Intelligence Estimate. And then, whatever that estimate was, it just probably just had to fit that decision. But it seems like a strange little kabuki dance that's being done here anyway, that, you know, what we all know, I think, as a country now, whether people want to admit it to themselves or not, is that we went to war based on some pretty flawed suppositions that were underscored by bad information. And now the big plan is to make sure that nobody ever has to sort of, you know, admit how that happened. And I hope we do get a chance to talk to Richard Levin, the president of Yale, next week. He's going to be on this committee. Because I would suspect that a guy of his temperament and of his integrity wouldn't be comfortable being on a panel where he felt that they wouldn't be free to explore any aspect of this that they wanted to. Because this is clearly not just a story about intelligence gathering. It's also a story about the political interpretation of intelligence, the manipulation of intelligence, and stuff like that. So, now, on a more ridiculous note, I thought one of the more ridiculous things that did happen in this long week of post-Janet Jackson stuff was that, first of all, one of these, you know, whack job, cultural policing groups that, you know, basically the Buddy Vicevich enjoys so much. This one, I mean, it happens to be called the PTC, which stands for...
The first word, poor?
No, Parents Television Council, is what it is. You know, but anyway, they were one of the groups that started pressuring. You know, get this. It says, PTC warns NBC over reported plan to air bare breasts during ER on Thursday night. Do you know about this?
Yeah, kind of.
It turns out to be the bare breast of an 80-year-old woman who was receiving treatment in the ER.
Yeah. I mean, usually in emergency medicine, that does happen.
Yeah. This is the PTC is Brent Bozell's group, or one of Brent Bozell's groups. But, you know, published reports are true. He states that NBC's next episode of ER will show exposed breasts, and every one of the NBC's affiliates should expect maximum fines from the FCC for violating decency standards. Well, anyway, this, they pulled the scene, I believe, in response to pressure about this. But, I mean, I hope that we haven't gone so completely crazy here. And we have gone completely crazy, by the way, when this incident attracts a comparable level of web activity to the September 11th terrorist attacks. That's proof that we are out of our minds. You know, this instant is this halftime thing that nobody could see. I mean, you know, you could be staring right at your TV set and miss this thing. But anyway, that we've gone so completely crazy that we don't know the difference between, you know, an 80-year-old woman receiving some kind of medical treatment and her breasts are shown, I mean, and then something that might have been done for lewd or exploitive reasons during a halftime. I mean, I really think people need to kind of get a grip here.
Phone numbers are 522-WTIC, should you care to voice your opinion.
I'm not saying what you should get a grip on either.
1-800-966-WTIC and star WTIC from the cell phone.
Bruce and Colin shall return.
You know, I do like the Eastern ruby-throated scatacokes or whatever they're called.
What do you like about them? I can't pronounce their name.
But I like how sort of fungible they are about stuff. I like the fact that they say, well, you know, our ancestral lands are in Kent and Cornwall and stuff, but if we could have a casino in Danbury, we'd be willing to move our ancestral lands over there, okay? You know, give us a casino in Danbury, and our new position will be that our tribe historically hunted and fished on the banks of I-84. Wherever the Great Spirit sets up his roulette wheel, that's where we're from. I like that in a Native American. I like flexibility. Actually, Mr. Bruce Stevens, I think you printed this item out yesterday, and I stole it, actually. British police say an elderly man lived 18 months with his brother's corpse, apparently without noticing the death. Officials say Herbert Silver called police in early December to report what he called the sudden death of his 75-year-old brother. But it turned out he'd been dead for a year and a half. All right, be that way, then. Don't talk. Well, you're trying to freeze me out, then, are you?
That's real communication right there. That's, you know, that's really noticing.
All right, go into one of your salts, if that's where you're going to be. You mean a cat got your tongue? All right. Go ahead.